we're going to talk about the truth about recycling, or is it all really just rubbish?
Yeah, so, I'm not going to laugh about that.
You're saying this is serious. This is serious business. And you know, since we're kids, we always heard the, you know, reuse, reduce, recycle.
No, we have not.
Okay, since kids today, I don't think you're too old to have ever been a kid.
We heard you're supposed to not litter.
Yeah. I remember electricity is penny cheap, you know. So, yeah, we were basically raised in a time of consumption. And we're paying for this now.
We're still living in a time of consumption.
Well, we are, I know.
Jay.
But it was glorious consumption.
Oh, glorious.
Waste was good.
Yeah, waste was good.
So now we're saying, okay, reduce, reuse, recycle. And it always feels like every time we come up with a good idea, the deeper you start looking into it, it's not always such a good idea. And this is really where we're coming to. We're approaching this in recycling because the whole goodness around recycling is not necessarily as good as some of the alternatives. And I'm kind of dancing around it because I don't want to paint it like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It reminds me of, you know, everybody gets on the ship. Maybe this is a bad analogy, but I can't help it. They all get on the ship.
All right, I'm wondering where you're going.
And everybody's like, okay, now the captain says we're all going to do these certain kind of things. And some people go to one side of the ship and go, all right, I'll try. But most of the people hang back. And over the voyage, eventually everybody goes to one side of the ship.
And the ship tips over.
That's right. And the whole time it was just baloney.
I didn't know you were going to say baloney.
I almost
I was
didn't.
A little worried about that.
I almost didn't.
But the sort of the party line on recycling is recycling is good. We as Americans are not the best at recycling. We've only been recycling maybe about a quarter of the stuff that could be recycled. But it's better than the alternative. I think the danger is that we think problem solved. I mean, that's where I'm approaching
it. As part
it.
Of the education piece of what I'm talking about is everybody thinks that they're being so good because they're doing
I'm recycling.
People will say all the time, hey, I'm doing my best. I'm recycling. And I just look up and go, whoa, that's amazing. Okay. Because
so you buy that, you know, one-use bottle, a little plastic bottle, and you think, all right, yeah, not so good for the planet, but that's all right. I'm recycling it. And you feel like when I recycle it, it somehow magically becomes another bottle and the impact on the planet is not so good or not so bad. As it turns out, and since we're picking on plastic, it's come into the mainstream a bit now that China was the number one recipient of most of the United States recycling garbage. Essentially, we're shipping about half of our recycled plastic to China. And recently, around 2016, China just said, hey, we don't want it anymore. We're generating our own trash, right?
Yeah, but the other half was going out into the ocean.
Well, a lot of it was. You know, I mean, we were there is some legitimate recycling. You know, some of it gets turned into those landscape timber type things.
Yeah.
There are some. But I think the danger that we're looking at is we think the problem is being solved when in reality it is not. So China stopped accepting it. A lot of third world nations have stopped accepting the garbage. So then what happens to it? Well, with the plastic especially, it piles up in recycling centers. And now a lot of those recycling centers are finding that they are going to the government saying, we need permission to just dump these things in the landfill. Or, as it turns out, in the ocean. You know, and the ocean ends up being this huge waste container for all your plastic, all your plastic bottles.
Where then what ends up happening is what's called plastic threads. And this is the outgrowth of all this plastic. And so these plastic threads are in everything now.
Sure.
They're in every bite of fish you eat. They're in almost all the water you consume if you drink municipal water. We're filled with these plastic threads now.
I have this vision that years from now, you know, when they're many, many, many millennium from now, as the archaeologists look at this society, we will be the thin layer of the earth plastic. Where plastic is located.
It's like coal, but we're plastic.
You know, we're the plasticine, the plasticine era. I think there already is a plasticine period, but we'll be the new plastics.
All right, so here we are.
Well, before you get onto that, I want to just say,
just to define,
I know, because you're going to say, all right, enough about the problem. But I will just say, only 9%, National Geographic did a study, only 9% of all the plastic that has ever been produced has ultimately been recycled.
There we go.
That's worldwide.
Amazing.
So 91% of it. And it takes, on average, this plastic about 400 years to deteriorate. Now, we haven't been making plastic for 400 years. So basically, 91% of all the plastic we have ever produced in this world is still sitting around somewhere, floating in the ocean or buried under the ground or...
Well, again, though, it's going to be, you know, a variety. So if I look at how we've used plastic, when we created a greenhouse with 2-liter plastic bottles, those bottles have been sitting there for 15 years in the sun, day in. Well, we don't have it every day, but we have sun. And
it's always sunny at Blue Rock Station.
That's right. And those bottles have not deteriorated at all because we just had to repair a wall and take some of them out and put them back in. However, we did build a shower once out of gallon milk jugs, and they began to deteriorate right away. Think of that. You're drinking milk out of a jug that's ready to just break down in a heartbeat.
Right. And it did. I mean, it was like weeks. And the chickens really loved it.
I know. They came and destroyed the bottom, so we had to take everything out and start over.
That struck me as weird, that whatever was in that plastic, the chickens wanted to eat.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, when we talk about recycling, most people in their mind, in our culture today, recycling is handled in what's referred to as single stream processing.
But wait, what are we going to do about plastic?
We're going to fix the problem here.
Reuse and repurpose.
All right, we'll fix the problem. First, I want to define the problem. Then I want everybody to wail and gnash their teeth a bit and say, oh my gosh, the world's falling apart. Then we'll fix it. This is the way we work through these things. So she's giving
That's
me this. That's
total baloney, too.
This is a total baloney show. So, all right. So most people are dealing with recycling in a single stream.
What does that mean, a single stream?
They take all their recyclables, dump them in, you know, the trash can that's for recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets picked up and magically disappears. And what's ending up happening is it goes to essentially a sorting facility. At which point they have to sort out what is, you know, get the plastic separated from the glass, separated from the paper, separated from the cardboard and the metal, and things of that nature. And one of the things they found is about 30% of what goes into the recycling bin, right off the bat, is considered garbage. So in that sorting process, about a third of what is considered recycled is actually then thrown into landfill.
Well, we used to see that because I always said when I was building the house, the house that we made with tires and cans and bottles, that you make deposits, we make withdrawals. And it was amazing. I got hundreds of canning jars, just people throwing them in with bags in there. And
sure. Well, that gets to a thing where those could easily be reused, which is kind of when we talk about reduce, reuse, recycle. Recycle is in the right position, right? Third choice.
Well, there's also all kinds of other things.
First choices should be reduce.
Yeah.
Well, reduce. Don't buy it.
Yeah, reduce.
Try and use less. Right. Try and use less packaging. Second one, reuse. You know, if you can use this idea of a one-time use container is a fairly new idea. You know, we were talking about this at lunch here today, you know, where we were saying, you know, the idea of a plastic bottle, it's not that long ago when most people, when they received a bottle, it was a reusable bottle. You know, you would get a case of Coca-Cola or whatever came in glass bottles that you then returned and they were washed and reused. I mean, that's a much more sustainable process than a single use.
But we're not holding corporations accountable for the mess that they're making. They're taking the profit, and their shareholders are enjoying it while the planet is going to hell in a handbasket.
Sure. Well, so you say, all right, it's cheap. It's very inexpensive for, say, let's pick on Coca-Cola, to make single-use plastic Coca-Cola bottles, as opposed to putting in the old infrastructure of going out, collecting up the bottles, washing them, reusing them. So they can just make this and then it gets thrown away. They have externalized all of the costs of the disposal of that bottle.
No.
So what would happen if we have taken this idea of cleaning up the ocean, cleaning up the environment, that the cost of that single-use bottle is 25 cents?
Well, this is feminist economics. This has been around for a long time, and that's the cradle-to-grave concept, that if you create something, you are responsible for it during its entire life. So if you make that plastic bottle, it's got to come back to you, and you have to figure out what to do with it, and it's not about throwing it in the dump.
Yeah, and one of the problems I see, personally, is some governments have tried to address this by saying, okay, we're going to put a deposit on these bottles. And then you basically put the onus on the consumer. You're going to charge
the
cost, them for the
true cost.
Yeah, they're going to charge them for the deposit. And then you're going to require them to return it back. So you're putting all of that. It strikes me that you would just say, okay, Coca-Cola, if you want to produce using this method, well, here is the cost that we as a government are going to impose on you, and then we'll take care of the cleanup.
Well, there's the problem. We need a different government. Well, we need a different form of government.
That sounds like another show, huh? No,
yeah,
I don't.
No, we must have another form of government because we can't afford the true cost of these ways of working and doing business because they're totally skewed to the rich. And so they take what they want and then they leave us with the mess. So we have islands the size of Texas or maybe bigger that are plastic. We have all these fish that are dying and animals that are dying from the plastic. And we are dying from the plastic.
Right. So it sounds like it's what we're saying is some sort of anti-corporate
it's not
mindset,
some sort.
But
we're
saying
really serious.
No, I know you are, but I'm trying to walk the middle line here and say if we can identify an actual cost of Coca-Cola producing a plastic bottle, if there is an identifiable cost to society for that bottle, that it strikes me Coca-Cola should pay for it.
Well, they wouldn't be able to afford to produce it if they had to deal
then
with
they come
the
up
health
with a
issues.
Better idea.
That's right, and go back to glass.
And
maybe.
That's how capitalism works.
Or maybe do away with Coca-Cola products which are not fit for human consumption.
Or go back to reusable bottles. I mean, whatever. They'll come up with a better solution. These guys are clever. The reason why they're using these plastic bottles is because they are
it's
allowed
cheap.
To externalize
yeah,
all
cheap.
The costs.
That's right.
So let's come up with some way of holding their feet to the fire. And we're starting to see this in
well,
some
stop
societies.
Buying their products.
Well, that's what you
vote
as a consumer.
With your dollar.
Yeah, every dollar is a vote. And if you say, I do not like the fact that our oceans are full of plastic, don't buy
well,
them.
Well, Coca-Cola is not the only.
I know, we're picking on
yeah,
them because.
Well, it's just a good name.
Because
but
they're so huge, they're
plastic.
Not listening to us,
no.
So we're not going to get in
but
trouble.
But I'm amazed at how much plastic, everything in plastic.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. And even though I try hard to purchase things that are in glass or in metal or not in anything like fresh vegetables and fruits.
You're listening to North State Give and Take on KZFR 90.1 FM. My name is Bobby Tryon, and today I'm doing something a little different. I am using an interview with Jay and Annie Warmke from the Blue Rock Station in Appalachian Mountains in southeastern Ohio. They're talking about sustainability and recycling. And stay tuned. I'm going to come back and we'll finish this interview. Jay and Annie Warmke from the Blue Rock Station in the Appalachian Mountains in southern eastern Ohio talking about recycling. And you're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. My name's Bobby, and this really is North State Give and Take.
It is frustrating because even those companies that are trying to do the right thing still fall back on, and there's a lot of reasons for it. Plastic is a very convenient medium for storage and transportation and all these other kind of things. One thing that occurred to me, I remember when we were in Germany one time, it was remarkable to see the customers in grocery stores, when they went through the checkout line, there was like a table and they were taking all the packaging off of the products they just bought.
Keeping everything that's in a liner inside.
Right. Yeah. But basically, because they're mostly walking home and they've got just one little bag or two bags, they're getting rid of the packaging and leaving it at the store and saying, okay, Mr. Storekeeper, it's now your responsibility to deal with all this packaging. Well, the store then, I'm sure, will eventually respond by saying, let's have less packaging. If I've got to deal with it, I'd prefer not to. So then they start putting pressure on their suppliers and say, can we begin to reduce the packaging? And that's all good. That's the reduce, reuse. We can come up with some solutions here on reuse, right? One of the things you've hit upon recently, which has been kind of fun, is oftentimes when you can just bring your own little single-use leftover container that you might get at some restaurant. Oftentimes now they're using really nice, plasticky ones.
They last.
And we just wash them out, carry them with us. And if there's leftover food in the restaurant, you just reuse your own little container.
We also have our own utensils for eating, which is really great to not use plastic.
So you carry around in your purse some utensils, leftover containers. What else are you going to carry?
I don't know, but I will say, and this is just because of who I am, I'm not trying to put this on anybody else, but I'm always looking for ways that I actually can do something that makes a difference in the short term, not just the long term, because my whole life has been kind of a long-term sustainability test. But so things like planting trees, easily planting trees with sticks that you can ram in the ground, things like having my own utensils in my purse so that I'm not using plastic, and also the reuse containers. Those are all things that, even though what I do is not going to change corporate America, if I could, I would, honestly. But it does make me feel better about my lifestyle and what I'm trying to accomplish. And we see people who come on tour all the time who are saying, oh, I want to live like you do, and so in 5 years I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you can start today. Today you can get yourself a pair of chopsticks when you go to eat the next time, and then just get a little bag and keep washing them and put them in there. You don't even have to have a special pair of chopsticks or a special knife and fork or spoon. You can get a, there's lots of containers. There's lots of little cotton things you can put food utensils in, or you can go online or go, I don't know where a local store would have them, but you can go online and order cute little ones for gifts for everybody for Christmas, and everybody could, have their own, and you could practice using chopsticks.
So basically what you're saying is you may not be able to change the world, but you can change your own behavior.
That's right.
And
that changes other things. That's right. It changes other things in your life. So,
well, I found when we talk to some of the waiters and waitresses, and you bring out your chopsticks and you bring out your little, reusable container, and they all go, oh, that's a good idea, And then one person at a time, and then when people start doing this, then it's like the reusable bags in grocery stores. When you first started doing that, the people in the grocery stores would look at you like, are you insane?
Like,
yeah, they wouldn't even help you fill up the bag.
Oh,
it's like,
okay,
it's your bag.
Yeah,
it's all your thing.
You got to deal with it.
This is weird.
But I will say that what does happen is it also identifies people who are thinking about this issue and they talk to us. So one of the places that we like to support in the little town near where we live is a restaurant. And so we've gone in there. I'm not sure what we had when we went in there because it's not a place where you normally would have chopsticks. But a few weeks ago, one of the waitresses just couldn't wait because we hadn't been in there for a long time. And she had to tell me that she'd gotten a reusable cup for water, and it was a kind that had a metal straw, and that she was so proud that she now had the ability not to accept straws anymore. Oh, I know, because we always say we don't want a straw. And she was so proud of herself to tell me that she was doing something, anything that she could, that was going to make a difference somehow. But then that changes other things in their lives. And maybe then there's some kind of groundswell, and we finally stand up to these corporations and say, we're not buying your sweet drink anymore because it's killing us, or we're not going to buy that because of the packaging because it's killing, you're dumping it in the ocean or whatever.
Okay, well, when I was doing a lot of research on all of this, much of which we're not going to touch on here during this show, but one of the things they like to emphasize is, we don't want to say plastic is bad. Well, we do want to say that plastic
is bad. It's bad for everything.
Right. So just assume if you're purchasing something that is packaged in plastic and...
And don't heat it in the plastic because that just infuses... Those plastic
threads.
That's
a whole nother issue.
That's a horrible, horrible.
But one of the things that was stressed over and over is Americans are really bad at recycling plastic properly, and that it is actually better to just throw the plastic away from an ecological point of view than
but they're burning it.
Well, they are burning it, but what we're saying
it's
is
bad.
Often if there's the wrong kind of plastic in a bundle, they will destroy the whole bundle. So you want to recycle. So if it's not a recyclable bottle, just assume you got to throw it away.
Well, let me say
none of those little vegetable containers or whatever.
But we've used bottles for a lot of things in our building. I mean, we have a greenhouse, a really wonderful little greenhouse that's made with 2-liter bottles. We've finished walls where we filled in holes with bottles. We've cut them and made light with them. I mean, there are things you can do. We use them as containers for nuts and bolts and things like that. So
scoops. You can reuse them, but the world would be better off if we didn't.
Absolutely.
Need to.
Absolutely.
All right. So if we're jumping down from plastic bad, glass isn't necessarily bad. It's mostly silicon. But the problem is, because of the way we use plastic, there is very little demand for the recycled glass.
Also, we have different kinds of recipes that are used for glass, and so they can't all just be put together. They have to be, because one can contaminate the other. So
they're sorted, they're melted down, they make those little beady type things, and then they use that in the manufacture of new glass. And it's actually a fairly efficient system when it's working properly. The thing is, most municipalities don't want to recycle glass because there's not a big demand for it. But if we got rid of a lot of the plastic...
If corporations had to go back to using glass, then it would be a huge demand.
And I would venture to say, in my very uninformed, unscientific...
Wait, you have several pages
process,
of information.
I know, but it is informed, but it's still very uninformed. I would think glass better than plastic.
Or just about anything else, because it just has a long life if you don't drop it.
Now, the metal containers tend to be recycled pretty well. If they're we call them tin cans, but they're really steel. If they're magnetic, those can be recycled pretty easily. There's a pretty good demand for metal.
But and aluminum is bad.
Aluminum,
nobody should be using aluminum for anything.
Aluminum has its problems. Although it is true that to recycle an aluminum can takes less energy than to make one from scratch. But that's like saying, you know, this evil is a little worse than that
evil.
But
aluminum has a lot of consequences for humans.
Right. Now, paper, office paper tends to be recycled pretty easily. And it's actually one of those success stories where a lot of our office paper, a lot of our paper products are being, especially newspaper, if I recall, it's some in the 60-70% range. And cardboard also. Now, one of the problems with cardboard, though, is you want essentially clean cardboard. You don't want grease stained
tape on it and stuff.
Well, sometimes the tape, but the grease, the food.
Yeah. But it's mostly going to have tape. So we use cardboard in the garden for the first layer of mulch to hold the weeds back and hold in the moisture, the warmth, or the coolness, whatever. We also have used it a lot in some of our building techniques.
And cardboard can be composted, so can paper.
Yeah, so that's what I would say, rather than to haul it away and use the energy to do that, is it could be put through a paper shredder, used as mulch, used as litter for a rabbit or...
vermiculture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it has many other purposes besides just putting it in the dump.
Well, one of the things that I found surprising as I was looking into this is I always thought I knew how to recycle, but I really did not know how to recycle. There's a lot of good advice out there on what you should do, but cardboard, paper, that's not that hard. As long as it's dry and relatively clean, that's good. Glass, some people have told me over the years, oh, you got to wash that, you got to sanitize it. Not really. As long as you don't have it like half full of food, if it's just a bit of, it does not have to be washed. It's going to be washed as part of the recycling process. Same with aluminum cans.
I want to say about cardboard, though, that tape that is on the cardboard.
No,
but I'm saying that it seems to me that it would contaminate the cardboard because it is sort of plastic, and I would question that because I will tell you that if we leave a piece of tape on the cardboard that we put in the garden, it'll be there forever, right? Unless we collect it.
They do is they pulp it, they screen it, they screen all through that. So bear in mind the tape.
It's gone.
Gone. You just don't like plastic. So you want to get rid of the food waste, but you don't have to wash these. No ceramics of any sort. Those things cannot be recycled. No Pyrexes or heat resistant glasses. You don't want to use those. These can't. You don't want broken glass in there. Mirror, window glass, all of that's bad. Light bulbs, no. Cathay ray tubes, you know, like television sets, although we're getting more to flat screens.
Stuff in those.
You know, when I went to the recycling recently, somebody had put in like 3 or 4 televisions.
I know, I've seen that.
And then I think, oh, that's going to be bad. So, I guess the bottom line we're coming to is if you're relying on recycling and thinking that that is going to solve the problem of your consuming something, You got to think again.
You're lying to yourself,
right?
Really.
It's a self-delusion because, first off, we've already found that from all the plastics ever manufactured, only 9% have ever been recycled. So essentially you're saying 90% of all that plastic is just going to end up in the waste stream. So, and it's going to be 400 years. You know, it struck me when I saw one of those like plastic bags when they hand them out at the grocery store, I literally didn't think much about it. You know, with paper or plastic, I prefer paper. But when I realized it takes 1,000 years for that bag to go away, now 9 times out of 10, I'll just say, no, you know what? I carried these things up here. I can carry them out.
Yeah, that's what
I don't
we do
need
often.
A bag.
Mm-hmm. And I don't really need a bag either. We're wrapping up an interview here that I hijacked, actually, between Jay and Annie Warmke. They have a little radio station in the Appalachian Mountains in southeastern Ohio. They have a sustainability center. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to North State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon, and I try to get some interesting things out there in this little short half hour. If you would like to be on the show, I'd love to have you. Give me a call, 530-520-1593. I do nonprofits in the North State and interesting things that we all can learn about. You can listen to all of my shows by going to kzfr.org, going to programs, and going down to Tuesday. And every show is there. You can click on them and listen to anything from the past. I do a Zoom interview, so it's pretty easy for people to do them. So if you're interested, again, call me at 530-520-1593. Thanks for listening to North State Give and Take, and stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive.
What's up, everybody? This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. My name is Ginger Nichols, and you are right about to listen to Radioactive. I hope you guys enjoyed North State Give and Take. I'd like to let you know that North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing And accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years in the heart of downtown Chico at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923 and by the printed image. Providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The printed image open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. What's up, everybody? Radioactive will commence in a few minutes, but until then, here's Under 21 by Save Ferris. Please enjoy.